Thank you very much. So I was not aware that I gave that title, but I suppose that was due to this conference here. So this is different title for what I'm really talking about, and I really talk about the justification. And failure of a nonlinear Schrödinger equation. Equation in case of non-trivial resonances. Okay, and this is related to the title because I will prove that on a certain time interval, the solutions of an original system will be approximated by the solutions of a nonlinear Schrödinger equation, and therefore you have a very long time interval, existence time interval for this original system, and sometimes you have a smaller time interval if the nonlinear Schrödinger equation fails to approximate the original system. Okay, so I will write down. Since I'm a mathematician, I will start with the equations and do the physics stuff afterwards. Okay. So we consider the following situation. I have some original system with some nonlinear wave equation. It's dtu squared equal dx squared u minus alpha r dx to the 4 u plus alpha q u squared minus alpha c u to the power 3. So this is a nonlinear wave equation. I have that u equals u of x and t is real valued. I'm interested in the case x in r and t greater or equal to 0. If I have here three parameters, you should not take care of this for values of these parameters. I will take these parameters to turn on these terms or to turn off these terms. So this alpha, these alpha j are in 0 or 1. So if such that I can look at different equations here. Okay, so reason why I will since I'm only interested in positive time. Okay. So what I will talk about, so if you look at the linearized system, this linearized system possesses solutions e to the I k x minus omega of t, and omega of k, omega squared, equals k squared plus 1 plus alpha r k to the power 4. Okay, and I'm interested in the following question. You can make the following ansatz. So I'm interested in modulations of these linear waves, and I make the following ansatz. U equals epsilon of A of epsilon x plus some group velocity Cg of t epsilon square of t modulating some underlying wave packet plus complex conjugate plus higher order terms. I have that epsilon is a small parameter, and if you plug in this ansatz into this original system, you get the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, LS equation, which is dt A equals I U1 dx, what I will write here, Xi squared A plus I U2 A squared and U1 U2 real valued parameters, which you can compute out of this equation. Okay, so now I'm interested in the following question. What is the connection between the solutions of this nonlinear Schrödinger equation and the solutions of this nonlinear wave equation? And so my goal in this talk will be some approximation theorem and it goes more or less like this. Let A, a solution of a nonlinear Schrödinger equation in some Sobolev space, be solution of NLF when there exists some epsilon 0, some C bigger than 0, such that for all epsilon in the interval 0 to epsilon 0, there are solutions U of, the of this nonlinear wave equation, such that we have the following approximation property, that is a primum over all T in T0 over epsilon square of U T minus, and I will denote this part here with epsilon psi NLF minus this epsilon psi T NLF in some Sobolev space HM, which should be smaller or equal to C times epsilon square. Okay, then. So, so I've forgotten here pictures. I will draw this picture now. So I want to describe with these solutions of the nonlinear Schrödinger equations, solutions of this form of this original system. So if you draw here x, and if you draw here u, then you take a solution of a nonlinear Schrödinger equation, and this solution modulates the underlying wave packet. So this distance here is, so this thing here is 1 over epsilon, this height here is epsilon, and this envelope, this yellow envelope here, this thing here, evolves as a solution of a nonlinear Schrödinger equation, and it changes on a time scale 1 over epsilon square. Therefore, in order to see the dynamics of this nonlinear Schrödinger equation and this nonlinear wave equation, you need that you need an estimate on a time due to the scaling on a time interval T0 over epsilon square. And the error here, epsilon square, is smaller on this time interval than the approximation and the solution. So, so this is what we want to show. So this is our goal here. Okay, so it turned out that the proof of this, of such a, or the difficulty of the proof of proof differs strongly with this parameter, with these parameters alpha j. Okay. And so now why I'm using these three parameters, I'm using this parameter alpha c to have a cubic nonlinearity, alpha p to turn off the quadratic nonlinearities. So this is the second case. The first case will be cubic nonlinearities, which is more or less trivial. Quadratic nonlinearities, you have to work a little bit to gain such an approximation theorem. And the last thing is to put this alpha r on when you get some resonances, and then this is what I really want to talk today about. Okay, so the first thing is cubic nonlinearities. So which means, so for simplicity, I will take alpha r equals alpha p equal to 0 and alpha c equal to 1. Okay, when you have a nonlinear, so you have eliminated these two terms here, when you have some linear wave equation, which you can write in abstract form, abstract system, you can write it as a first order system, dtu equals some q-symmetric operator lambda applied on u plus some cubic nonlinearity, which is symmetric in the arguments. Okay, the idea to prove this theorem is as follows. You write a solution as sum of the approximation plus error. When you estimate the error by the solution, by the equation, which is solved by the error. So we have u equals epsilon psi plus some epsilon. I will take here for simplicity epsilon squared r. Okay, when you plug this in into the system, and you get an equation for the error, which is dtr equals lambda r plus 3 epsilon squared c psi r, and then plus higher order terms. Okay, now when it's easy to see, since this is a skew symmetric operator, it generates a uniformly bounded semigroup. And so by Kronwald's inequality, you easily get, because due to the fact that you can now rescale t equals epsilon squared t, you can look at variation of constant formula, for instance, and make some energy estimates, and this term will cancel, and you can rescale time, and you see that by rescaling time, you get some estimate, some boundedness of r on this long time interval. So you get by Kronwald very easily that the supremum over all t in this time interval epsilon square of this r of t in this some Hm space is O of 1, where epsilon goes to 0. Okay. So this is a cubic nonlinearity is more or less trivial. Okay, less trivial is the fact, the problem, if you look at quadratic nonlinearities. Okay, if you look at the abstract system, so what I take here, I will take alpha resonance equal alpha c equal to 0, and I will take alpha q equal to 1. Okay, so therefore, I have now a nonlinear wave equation with a quadratic nonlinearity. Again, it can be written in abstract form. So it can be written as dtu equals some skew symmetric operator lambda plus some bilinear mapping B, U, U. Again, you make the ansatz U equals epsilon psi with epsilon squared R, and then you get an equation dt R equals lambda R plus 2 epsilon B psi R, those terms which are of order epsilon square. Okay, now you easily see that you're in trouble due to the fact that you have here some epsilon, and you need a time scale which is one over epsilon square. And so this term here, these terms can give you a growth like e to epsilon t, and so therefore you have a problem at this point. Okay, this was solved by a Russian guy named Kalyakin. He wrote a number of papers around 1988. And the idea is to make some normal form transform. It turned out that these terms here are oscillatory under the assumption that you have some non-resonance conditions on the eigenvalues of a linearized problem. So he makes a normal form transform. So you take R equals V plus epsilon Q psi of R. So it's a near identity transformation. So I guess it should be here some W. And you want to choose Q in such a way that these terms B here are eliminated. So if you do so, you find an equation for W. It's of the form dtw equals lambda of w plus terms of order epsilon square. And when the terms of order epsilon are of the form minus q lambda psi w minus q psi w plus lambda psi w plus 2d psi w. Okay, so again, you have to find some q to eliminate with order epsilon terms here. And it's well known that this can be done if you have some non-resonance conditions on these eigenvalues lambda, which occur here three times in this linear operator in this expression here. Okay, so you need some non-resonance condition. And the non-resonance condition is that the infimum of M, N in 1, 2 here, because we have two eigenvalues according to this equation here. So we had Fm n of 1, 2 and infimum of K in R. But you need that omega m of k minus omega 1 of k 0 minus omega n of k minus k 0. This has to be bigger than 0. If you have these non-resonance conditions on the eigenvalues, then this term here can be eliminated. You have an equation. So there exists a Q such that this thing here is 0, and you end up with an equation which is dt v equals lambda of v plus order epsilon to the power 2. And so we are now in the cubic situation. Okay, this transformation is very similar, or is more or less exactly the same transformation for this equation. Was a paper by Chattard, who improved the global existence results for nonlinear wave equations by eliminating quadratic terms and going to cubic terms. This is more or less exactly the same thing which happened here. Okay, and this is easy to compute. That this resonance condition is satisfied in the case that alpha r equals to 0. Okay, so therefore, you have this approximation result also in the situation where you have quadratic nonlinearities. Okay, now I come to, I'm approaching the subject of my talk. Okay, the next thing is, if you have quadratic nonlinearities and resonances. Okay, so I will denote this thing here by R, M, N of k, and I will call the wave number k resonant. K is resonant. So I have now alpha r equals to 1, and k is resonant if there's some m and n such that r, m, n of k equal to 0. Okay, so before I come to what I wanted to tell us, I would like to make two remarks. A resonant can be trivial if additionally so the nonlinear terms b, psi, and r evaluated at this wave number. So I'll make here some tilde maybe. Is also 0. For all psi and r. It's called non-trivial if this thing is not identical, 0 at this wave number. Okay, so there's a famous problem where you have a trivial resonance, it's a water wave problem. The water wave problem, you have a trivial resonance at a wave number k equal to 0. Because for the water wave problem, you always have the eigenvalues omega for wave number k equal to 0 is 0. And therefore, you have a trivial resonance in the water wave problem. In the water wave problem, this trivial resonance at the wave number k equal to 0 implies a non-trivial resonance at the wave number k 0. And this problem has been solved earlier. So this has been solved in a paper in 1998 for some model. If you have this k tilde equal to 0 is resonant, and also k tilde equals k 0 resonant. Okay, and if this thing is trivial, you always have that this thing is non-trivial. Okay, the water wave problem, that's also another thing for water wave problem, which this approximation theorem, there's the first step already solved for the water wave problem in a paper by Craig, Sulem, and Sulem in 92, who estimated the residual for this water wave problem. Okay. The general situation where you have non-critical resonances, there was also the first attempt by myself, which I will explain later on, how this is related to what I'm telling in the next step. So I'm interested now in non-trivial resonances, and I will explain why this is a problem. So I will eliminate this thing here. Take the six chapters again, quadratic nonlinearities and resonances too. Okay, so if you look at the derivative, so why I'm looking at this problem. So for the first thing is I'm interested in the water wave problem. In the water wave problem for small surface tension, you have this problem of additional resonances. Okay, if you look at this system here, if you look for the derivation of a nonlinear Schrödinger equation, you need you have two non-resonance conditions. You have two conditions, namely that R M N of 0 is not equal to 0, and that R M N of 2 K 0 is not equal to 0 for all M and N. And for the approximation result, you need so far that R M N of K is not equal to 0. So that's a big difference for all K of R. So there's a big gap in between these two things. Okay. These are the eigen. Yes. Yes. Maybe. Okay. So the problem is now. Okay. You take one. So I derive this nonlinear Schrödinger equation for this omega 1. So therefore I have written down here omega 1. Okay. So this. Okay. So. So for the derivation of this nonlinear Schrödinger equation, if you plug in this ansatz into the equation, if you look at the square of this thing here, you get terms e to the 0 k 0 x and e to the 2i k 0 x. Therefore, you need an order to solve these equations at 0 and 2k0, you need these two non-resonance conditions to derive this nonlinear Schrödinger equation in case of quadratic nonlinearities. But what I was telling here, you need this non-resonance condition to eliminate all quadratic terms to prove this approximation result, which is written down here. So there's a big gap, and the question is, so this is an open problem. So you can derive the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, but and the assumption that you have additional resonances is a question, does the original system behave as predicted by the nonlinear Schrödinger equation or not? Okay, and the answer is as follows. So maybe I will write down the result, and then I will explain what is written in the result. Okay, the approximation property holds if wie noch ein linear Schrödinger Equation. Nee, if the NLS subspace in this free wave interaction system associated to a resonance is stable. And there's a founder example. But this is not the case, it does not hold. If it is unstable. Okay, now I have to explain what is meant by this. Okay, so okay, so this was a better idea to erase this thing here. Okay, what is the free wave interaction system? So TVI system. So it's a free wave interaction system. Okay, if you have a resonance, you have R of K, several, okay, maybe R M and N of K, it's omega M of K minus omega 1 of K 0 minus omega N of K minus K 0 equal to 0. Okay, so if you have a resonance K tilde, which is resonant with K 0, also a wave number K tilde minus K 0 is resonant to this wave number K 0, because we have two of these curves here. If you look at this omegas, their complex conjugates look more or less like this. And so if K tilde is resonant, also K tilde minus K 0 is resonant. Okay, so if you have here our basic, if here is our basic wave number K 0, and here we have, here's a wave number, a temporal wave number omega 0. Here we have K 1, which is resonant wave number, and we have here omega 1. Then K 0 plus K 1 plus K 2 have to give something like this. And here we have omega 2, and then these wave numbers K2, K0, and K1 and omega are resonant if these things add up. So these are resonant if K0 plus K1 plus K2 equal to 0, and the associated temporal wave numbers also add up to 0. Okay, so now you can derive a closed system for solutions which are concentrated at these wave numbers. So you make the following ansatz. U equals epsilon of A epsilon T e to the k 0 x minus omega 0 t plus the same thing A2 epsilon t e I k 1 x minus omega 1 t. The same thing with SOF. Sorry. I have to make here some 1, 2, okay, if you make this ansatz to derive evolutionary equations for the solutions at these wave numbers here, and if you make this ansatz and plug this into the equations, you get this free wave interaction system, which looks like d tau a 0 equals I gamma 0 a 1 a 2 complex conjugate d tau a 1 equals I gamma 1 a 0 a 2 complex conjugate and d tau a 2 with I gamma 2 a 0 a 1 complex conjugate. And you have that these gamma j are real. Okay, so why do you get this system? If you take a1 multiplied by a2, you get k2, you get, since you take a complex conjugate, you get minus k2, minus k1, and if you look up here, k minus k1 minus k2 equals plus k0, so therefore this term has to appear in the equation for a0. So all the things the same way. Okay. So now, so the nonlinear Schrödinger, so if you make the ansatz, you made this following ansatz, and associated to this resonance of the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, we have this subspace here. And if you take A2 and A1 equal to 0, then this is preserved by the system, and you have and this thing here is a subspace of fixed points. So the nonlinear Schrödinger subspace is given by A1 equals A2 equals to 0. So this A1 space consists of fixed points. Okay, so you can compute the stability of it, so this is well known for the system here. You can compute the stability of this subspace here. So you have to look if A1, A2 stay bounded if they are close by to close to if these two things are close to zero. Okay, so you can what you can do, you can differentiate the equation for A1 again, and you get I gamma 1. Since A0, you linearize around this fixed point, it's now independent of time. So you get d tau A2 complex conjugate. If you go on, you get finally gamma 1, gamma 2, the modulus of A0 squared multiplied by A1. Okay, this thing here is always bigger than 0. And if this thing here is less than 0, gamma 1, gamma 2 is less than 0, when you have oscillations in this equation, and if gamma 1 multiplied by gamma 2 is greater than 0, you have some exponential growth. Okay, so we have stability here. And if gamma 1, gamma 2 is greater than 0, you have instability. Okay, and the picture looks like this. So you have the A1 subspace. Now you have circles around, you have oscillations around the subspace, and here, if you have instability, you have some saddle point. Okay. Okay, and the theorem says that this approximation theorem holds if this nonlinear Schrödinger subspace related to this resonance. That means in this situation, that is A0, this is A0 space, that is A0 space is stable with respect to this dynamics here. So this means here, if gamma 1 multiplied by gamma 2 evaluated at this wave here is less than 0, then this approximation property holds. Okay, and it does not hold, there's a counterexample, but it does not hold if this subspace is unstable, and you can prove that this approximation theorem breaks down, and at a time 1 over epsilon logarithm of epsilon, the system behaves completely different than predicted by the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. Okay, so the counter example is a little bit cheated in the sense that that you're looking at this problem with 2π spatially periodic boundary conditions, when the nonlinear Schrödinger equation degenerates into an ordinary differential equation, and you have to choose the resonances in such a way that you are an integer multiple of this basic wave number k0, such that you can look at 2π spatially periodic solutions of this system. Okay, I will close my lecture with a picture, which maybe makes more clear what I'm talking about. Okay, I will erase this thing here. Okay, so if you go in Fourier space and if you have U hat, it's a Fourier transform and you have your wave number K. You have your basic wave number K0 and you have your minus K0. If you look at the Fourier transform of this ansatz here, so it's strongly concentrated in epsilon neighborhood around the wave number k0. So the picture looks more or less like this. And these peaks here of order epsilon in a suitable norm. By nonlinear quadratic interaction, you produce terms which are of order epsilon square at 0. And at 2k0, and you can go on 3k0, you get something for the epsilon to the power 3, and so on. Okay, now you have, assume that you have some resonances. So assume now that you have some resonant wave number K1, and that you have some resonant, the associated resonant wave number here is at this point. Okay, if this subspace is now you have a free wave interaction system, and if this subspace here is stable, these modes will not increase. So therefore, this mode distribution will stay as it is, and you can prove the approximation theorem. If the subspace is unstable, then this modes will increase, and at a finite time, because the evolution of this free wave interaction system, so it's tau equals epsilon, the evolution of the system is much faster than the nonlinear Schrödinger dynamics. So therefore, these peaks will not change at all on this short time scale, but this thing here will grow to a reasonable size in a time scale 1 over epsilon, logarithmic epsilon. Okay. So the proof consists more or less consists in finding a suitable energy. So the energy is more or less, you take in Fourier space, so I will forget all complex conjugate, something like this. Q of K and L, and also that I have more variables. Psi of K minus L R of K and R. Okay, and what you are doing with this energy, you have two things to choose. You have Q and sigma. You choose Q in such a way that you can, this Q is used at the non-resonant wave numbers to make this normal form transformation, and the sigma is adjusted in such a way that you like you prove the stability of the subspace in the free wave interaction system. So therefore, this part is used to control the free wave interaction system, and this part is used to control the non-resonant wave numbers. Okay, so I was claiming that there's a counterexample in 2π spatially periodic case. So this picture is not completely correct. So it's only true if you have this instability, if your picture looks like this. If you have some delta distributions at these wave numbers were the counterexample. In this case, you can prove directly. In the general case, I have no theorem about the general case, but I have some claims about the general case. And my claims are a little bit strange in so I have to find the free wave induction system again. So if in the general case, this free you have to look at a complete neighborhood around this wave number. You not only have to look exactly at the wave number, you have to look in the neighborhood, and then the free wave interaction system will be changed in a way that you have to add here some drift terms according to the group velocities of these wave packets, dx a1 plus c2, dx a2. Okay, now the claim is as follows. Usually these wave numbers are not the same, but the instability takes place in the free wave interaction system after time where this thing is usually valid. So in this tau variable, the system is valid on a timescale O of 1, but the instability will take place in a logarithm of epsilon timescale. So therefore, on an O of 1 timescale, these terms do not have too much influence on the dynamics here. They always only shift the things a little bit. But since you have to go to a long time scale, if you have two wave packets, on this long time scale, these wave packets will be separated from each other because these terms have different velocities, and the separation will be too fast that these two wave packets are able to show this instability. So they will be separated relatively fast, and so you do not see this instability in the case that if the solutions of this free wave interaction system are spatially localized. And the claim is now, so I was playing with some model, and for the model you can prove that the approximation theorem does hold if the solutions of a nonlinear Schrödinger equation are spatially localized. That means that if they are integrable in space, but it does not hold if you have Sobolev functions. So if the solutions go down like x to the minus 1/2, if you take L2 functions, which is general assumption here, you cannot expect the approximation result. But these last statements are only claims, and I guess it's impossible to make a rigorous proof out of them. Okay, thank you very much.